It's busy right now. February is crazy, so thanks. And we'll see you next Tuesday. Bye.
What's going on? I just walk back on. Tanya Dongaskigo, then on the Watahun Sadaje, Ungahuan, Hadi Wanodos, Nene Aboriginal Voices, Oscar Dewanyawa Oscar, Ne Jota FM, CFRC.
And you are tuned to CFRC 101.9 FM, and we're broadcasting from Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. It is 6 o'clock on E, Nichiki Wank, Doug Farquhar, Dijnika, because meanwhile, Sean Story, Esna Minwa, and Ishnabi Nawewin. And tonight on Aboriginal Voices, well, I have to bring you a weather report. Oh, wow, is it ever something out there. What happened to this nice cold weather? It's gone. It's minus 2 outside our studios here at CFRC. And I don't know if that's a good idea or not. Because, you know, we've had all this beautiful cold weather and lots of snow and, oh, my goodness. And now look at minus 2. That's not fun. Anyway, it makes the road slushy, like wet and slippery. So if you're traveling or walking anywhere downtown here in Kingston on the campus or out, I noticed even the city streets are looking a little slushy, and so I'm not sure. Apparently, you know, about 8 or 10 kilometers north of the 401, they're getting snow. And in fact, if you go 30 or 40 kilometers north of the 401 here at Kingston, they're expecting to have anything to be between 15 and 20 centimeters of snow. Yes, that the center of that storm seems to have gone further north in Ontario. So as it comes off of the area around Windsor, Ontario, it went north. And so that low pressure is bringing in warm air from the south for Kingston and area and colder air from the north. As it goes closer or further north. Ottawa, apparently, too. You may not want to go skating on the canal tomorrow because it may be full of snow. Mind you, they do a lot of great work up there to keep that skateway canal open, the Rideau Canal. So, yeah, you never know. Yes, I am sad. Because it is a wet snow. And just before I walked into the station, you know, about 10 after 5 or so tonight, I thought, oh, I'm not going to like this. I brought my scraper with me because if it's going to be freezing rain possibly coming, then I've got my scraper ready to clean off the windows before I try to get in the car. So much for that. The weather for the next few days, yeah, it's going to be off and on, cool overnight and then warm during the day. And so it looks like we're going to rest in around the minus 8 to minus 2 zone, at least for a few days. Saturday and Sunday looks like it's going to be sunny all the weekend. So that's perfect. And especially for those folks who are around campus, a lot of them are taking off to go home for a week, and because next week is reading week. And so, you know, you should be taking some things with you so you can sit and read and study without any distractions. Mind you, you might like to listen to some of the shows here at CFRC throughout the week and the weekend. There are some really great shows. I've been, since January, having some time to be able to sit down and listen to a large number of radio shows here at CFRC over the last month and a half. And, you know, I'm really impressed. A lot of young people who are just getting started are doing a great job. So, plus, to all those folks who are doing radio shows here at Queen's Radio, CFRC. Yep, there's a great history here at CFRC, and go online. You can find out a little bit about us, cfrc.ca. tonight on Aboriginal Voices, you know, Sean and I are going to have a couple of conversations about, well, first thing about traveling and snowshoeing and skating out on the ice and trail travel and that sort of thing. We'll do that a little bit later on in the hour, in the first hour. And in the second hour, also going to carry on, but I have an interview that we that Kristen did with us to talk about winter activities. So we're going to share that one with you. And there was a large number of people, surprising it, on our website that who have asked for more about from Lindsay and Wayne and so Lindsay, Wayne, Kristen, and I had a couple of others who have contributed stories to Aboriginal Voices about land-based learning and being out on the outdoors. There are a lot of words that go with it, you know, like Indigenous learning, or you could say forest bathing, you know, whatever you want to call it. But basically it is get outdoors every season, do some exploration, look at the weather, deal with the where we are, wherever you are, with respect. So, you know, get out there and take a look at it. Observe in many ways. You can listen, you can take photographs, you can paint it, you can just lie down and close your eyes and feel what's going on out there. Gentle wind over you, strong wind, hard rains. You never know. Recently, all that crunchy snow that I had last week, oh my goodness, great sounds. Doesn't sound that way now. In fact, tonight, you could go out, tell me what sound you hear, wherever you are, with the sound of walking on the snow. Try to pick some fresh snow. See what it sounds like. You can write to us, aboriginalvoices@cfrc.ca. I have a song from Don Ross that I thought, oh, this would be fun. Get this one. Because, you know, when you're out in the woods and there's a good chance this time of the year, if you're close to where deer yard up or for the winter, you might find a big buck. And so I thought Don Ross has this song called Big Buck. And we'll play that one for you. And, you know, just think about the sounds he has. Thank you.
This is Cleo, and I hope you folks will join me Tuesdays at 5 for my new show, All Tunes. From punk rock to folk, we got it all. Tune in to CFRC 101.9 FM. See you Tuesday.
The Office of VP Research offers undergraduate students meaningful opportunities to engage in discovery-based learning and to develop research and presentation skills through their Undergraduate Student Summer Research Fellowship and the Undergraduate Student Research Award. Do you self-identify as a Black or Indigenous person? There are allocated funds through the USRA to help address the disproportionate underfunding of Black and Indigenous scholars at the undergraduate level. All projects are paid full-time work under the guidance of a faculty researcher and run from May through August. Application intake and deadlines are set by each department, so contact your department supervisor today. Application intake and deadlines are set by each department, so contact your department or supervisor today. Access the website to learn more at queensu.ca/VPR/resources/undergraduate. For general inquiries, contact Tracy Allen at allent@queensu.ca.
My name is Genevieve, and I'll be hosting Peace, Love, and Jenny on CFRC 101.9 FM on Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. We'll be exploring everything from pop and soul to funk, jazz, and even a touch of hip-hop. Music that spans decades but all connects through good vibes, peace and love, and of course, a little bit of me, Jenny. See you there!
Wouldn't it be cool if you could volunteer with Canada's oldest campus radio station? Well, sign up to volunteer with CFRC 101.9 FM today. We're always looking for new volunteers, and we offer a free training program, so no experience in radio production is necessary. You can start your own radio show or podcast, contribute to our news collective, help us sort through music sent to us by record labels and artists, help plan events, record PSAs for us, and even more. Reach out to our programming manager, Alex Fernandez, via email at programs@cfrc.ca for more information, or visit our website at cfrc.ca/volunteer and sign up today.
Well, there you go. Lots of things happening around CFRC and around Kingston. And Sean, you know, I was looking at what happened last week, you know, for people who were out doing things in the snow and everything.
Uh-huh.
And I had every day I went snowshoeing on a trail, or we had to make the trail sometimes because there's so much snow. And I did ice skating, and I did a whole lot of snow shoveling because there's
very nice
snowed all the time. It was great. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about going out on snowshoes.
Why is that?
Well, it's my favorite this winter.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. And how do you feel about snowshoeing? Honestly.
I think I've only done it once. Mm-hmm. There may be, well, on Family Day?
Last year or this year?
No, this year.
Oh, good.
Coming up,
yeah.
There will be a down on the territory, some kind of a snow. Well, let me find it. Snowshoe, how to snowshoe or snowshoe thing.
Workshop.
There you go.
Oh, okay. Good. So is this, at Tyndinnigan?
That's what I said.
Okay. For folks who are in that community, right? Or is it for everybody? Yeah.
Well, I hesitate to say that it's open to everybody, mm-hmm. but I think it might be.
Okay.
But if you happen to find it, I'll see if I can find it.
Okay. Yeah, because, you know, this is perfect winter for people who are learning to snowshoe, because you could get out and actually experience what it's like. I've gone out snowshoeing with some people who've never snowshoed before, And some of them say, this is too hard work. And mm-hmm. so they may not do it again. I'm not sure. We'll find out. That's not it. Oh, darn. It looks good.
Carry on.
Okay. Well, sorry, what you brought up on your screen there was a poster for going out and doing some snowshoeing, and it had an old-style racket snowshoe, and it looked in good shape, and I looked, and the next thing, the boot was a muckluck, and so just a leather boot set up to go. Did you find anything else?
Yeah, so there is. It is. Does not say anywhere that it's open to everyone. Okay. But maybe it does someplace.
Well, you have to register.
Again, I hesitate to say.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. This isn't even it either.
Oh. Well, what's that?
This one?
One
here is a borrowing program, but we won't talk about that
actually,
one either.
That's good thing, because a borrowing program means people can try it without having to buy, you know, $200 snowshoes. They can get out and try it.
I don't think they're $200.
Well,
the good ones are.
No. It's just the average ones now. I've been looking at seeing how much they are. Yeah, they're.
I'll look them up for you, Doug, because I'm sure you don't go the right spots.
Right.
165, 115.
Oh, there you go.
109, $95. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Is that Canadian or U.S. dollars?
This is Canadian.
Okay, good.
Yeah. 114, 165.
Yeah, so they're.
You can pay as much as 205, but if you've never done it before, that would be silly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I guess you could probably find someone who's willing to rent them.
Or even loan them out to you, just to try it.
Why not rent?
Oh yeah, you could do that. But when we were out snowshoeing, and the snow, if you took your snowshoes off, would go up your calf, not quite to your knee. Most places, some of the spots were over my knee, just in, you know, and one spot that where I fell.
Lovely.
Yeah,
good to hear.
It was nice and soft snow to fall into.
Thankfully,
the problem was that the more I kind of tried to turn or tried to get out of it, and push my gauntlets, you know, they're covering my wrist partway up my arm. And the more I pushed down, I did not touch the ground.
Mm-hmm. Until
I didn't.
You fell flat on your back.
No, I was trying to roll over so I could stand up.
Uh-huh.
And the further I pushed to get down, I was digging myself a trench. I was feeling like, oh, my goodness, this is what the bears probably do, to hibernate, you know, and I figure maybe I'm going to be here for a while until somebody comes by to help me up. But, no, it was light. There was lots of snow. But, so what I'm saying is don't travel alone when you go snowshoeing.
Oh, yeah, no. Mm-hmm. So there are several, if you go to Google and say snowshoe rental near Kingston, Ontario.
Okay.
There are several places that do rent them. I don't know how much for, but.
That's great. So in the Kingston area, so not just in Kingston, could be north of Kingston?
I don't know. I said Kingston area.
Yeah. Well, you're.
Near Kingston.
Mm-hmm.
There's Play It Again Sports, which I thought was no longer.
Oh, is that right?
Apparently, they still have a
website.
Well, they have a store, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Gardner's Town Center.
Hmm.
Well, that's good that they still hang about. Yeah, seems that they're still, they got a website.
It's called Play It Again Sports.
Yeah, Play It Again Sports. Okay. And you go in there and you find a bunch of used equipment and like, you know, skates, skis, probably snowshoes, and, you know, snowboards, the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
And you go in there and, yeah, for a nominal fee, you can get something used. Previously experienced.
Loved.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's over there someplace. Where?
Okay. But when you're going out on snowshoes.
Oh, over there.
Know your trails. Because.
Know your
trails. That's right. Because if the trails are set and they're. I'll call groomed, you know, where somebody's gone ahead of you, then it makes it easier for you to snowshoe in that kind of condition.
Uh-huh.
But if you're breaking trail, you know, you just have a group of people so you can share, you know, the workload, because the first person is going to be working really hard to keep. Now, the other thing is, if you're going to walk in snow, start walking. Think of your knees go first.
Oh, yeah?
And that way your toes come up and your snowshoe will follow your toes out of the snow.
Oh.
It's easier than falling down all the time complaining about the snowshoes. Yeah, so good chance to get out and do things in the winter, right? Yeah. Later on in the second hour, Kristen's going to talk about some of the out snow activities. So we'll see what she has to offer. Families' ideas that they could do themselves.
All right.
Okay. And I am going to check out that place that you said.
What place?
The place.
This one.
Play It Again Sports place. Yeah.
Why?
Well, I'll go see if they have snowshoes for me.
My goodness sakes, Doc.
I know. I got too many.
You can buy the $200 ones. What? Not even break a sweat.
No. it's the style of snowshoe. You know, there's so many buckles and so many types of them that, you know, the old leather straps, they don't last these days.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think about it, they're sick. The ones I have are over 60 years old. And, you know, the winter is not bad because they can keep them, you know, linseed oil and...
Of all of those ones that I was telling you about on the Amazon, none of them are...
The wooden snowshoes.
You would have to go to a specialist.
We'll have to
go. A craftsman, I guess.
We'll go find a craftsman and we'll have a chat about them and see.
Well, you can.
Oh, yeah. I would love to.
I'm sure you would.
I know just the guy.
All right.
Okay, I have a song. You ready?
Yeah.
It's not a snowshoe song, sorry. But it is making you think. Amanda Rayom did a new song just at the end of last year, and it's called Number 44. It's, you know, talking about a fellow's experience, and his number was 44.
All righty.
Okay. And following that, we're going to have, a second one from Amanda. Steps of the old ones.
Oh.
Yeah.
Just like your snowshoes.
See, I knew you could dive in it up for me.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
About 1956, that's when I first entered the residential school. I was born in 1951. Number 44 was my name. That's how I was addressed to. I didn't know my name much as Robert while I was in the residential school. Everything was numbered, your hat, your jacket, your mitts, your shoes, your pants, your shirt. It was all number 44. Our bed was number 44. Where we sat was number 44. Our sheets, our towels were numbered, our toothbrush was numbered, and our glass was numbered. Everybody was a number. We were like little rabbits. We knew exactly where to go. We knew exactly what to do.
Three, two, one.
Well, there you go. That was one of those wonderful step dances that you could do. And it steps of the old ones. And it actually was played by Alyssa Delbar Sawchuk. And it was part of Amanda Reom's publication and CD. Pretty good. I like that. That's quite amazing to see how that all worked. And Sean said, that's what it is. Steps of the old ones. Snowshoeing is going to be like that. Whether you're wearing the new style snowshoes that are all aluminum ones and they click down with rubberized or plastic or whatever it is that you're using, or you're using the old style, the webbings with leather bindings, or you could use it with rope. And that's one of the things that I was practicing this winter. Just the old trappers binding that you could use, especially in an emergency. If you need something to bind to snowshoes, then that's what you have. That's one of the things we have. And we had Amanda Reom with featuring a person that she knows from up around Barrie, Orillia area. And it was number 44, and that's from Amanda Reom's Live at the Woodshed. All right, so pretty good. We're having fun here tonight, and Sean has brought up a couple of things for me to look into, and I'm getting things sorted out for him. But before, he's just getting some things ready for our next conversation, so I'm going to pick a special song that he requested, and that's Ghost Dance, and that was put together by Robbie Robertson. So here you go. John, your favorite song.
Blackbirds in the sky. That's a sign.
There you go. There's your song.
Yeah, that was Robbie Robertson with Ghost Dance.
That's right. Yeah. I'm looking at the time, and we're really doing well for this hour. It's amazing.
Not too bad.
We got about 20 minutes, maybe a little less. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to tell you that part of my last week's research was to finish up something that we could do here to talk about Ellen Gabriel's book, the one that you gave me, mm-hmm. and the pine needles, when the pine needles fall. And it's a very heavy book.
I can imagine.
It's really well written, and it's got a lot. And I'm going to save that one till next week.
All righty.
Yeah, because I got planning and organizing what I wanted to share with you from that I got from the book. But then I took a different book that I was given, Moon on the Turning Leaves by Wabgishuk Rice.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, okay, this will be a little easier for me to read through, a lot more fun, maybe not as emotional as Ellen Gabriel's book. But you know how far I got into it?
No.
I got as far as, let's see, where it is. Chapter 1, page 7.
Oh, yeah?
That's as far as I got into that book.
A page turner, is it?
No, it's got nothing to do with that. It has to be, well, partly it was, hey, we got so much snow out where we were at the, you know, in the cabins and stuff, so we'd be fine if I could sit by the fire and read. But that was my plan, by the way, to sit by the fire and just sit down and read through Wab's book, Wabgishuk Rice's book.
Cool.
But I want to show you my new acquisition. Well, this was given to me as a present.
Oh, I see.
Called Landscape of Nations Beyond the Mist.
Mm-hmm.
So while I'm talking, you can turn to pages.
All right.
And I'm wondering if you think you might like me to get you a copy of this book.
I don't know. Maybe.
Well,
probably.
Take a quick look. No, don't take a quick look. I forget how many pages. It's a huge book. It's one of those coffee table books.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. But you're going to be surprised that the main editors of this book, Rick Hill,
oh okay,
and Tim Johnson.
Tim Thompson?
No, Johnson.
I don't know him.
Oh, okay. I think he's Oneida, Cayuga, from down around the Niagara Falls area anyway. Both of these people are. Well, this is from Niagara Falls, the actual falls and the Niagara River Focus.
Uh-huh.
And this is all published with the support of the Niagara Parks Commission. Now, as I got going, they got a lot of beautiful photographs in there from museums and personal collections in there. And they walk you through prehistory, in a sense, and they walk you through the historical times that it recorded in different ways.
Oh, yeah.
But they're recorded materials, oral stories and images and artifacts, that were found or given to them to be stored in. They're the two guys right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, okay, maybe I should take it because it was a book given to me by the folks there that we went to visit. And I got interested in this thing, so interested that it took up my whole week's reading. And I'm not even halfway through it.
Now, I can't imagine. It is a very, very heavy book.
Yes.
Let me see the page count.
But it's quality. That's
the, probably
that's
about 245 pages.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't look at that.
And it's what? Larger than an 8.5?
Oh, yeah.
Damn. Yeah. It's probably what? Possibly a 14? Maybe 10, a 12.
Or 10 by 12, maybe, or something like that.
Oh, no, I think it's more than... Oh, 10 by 12. Yeah, okay.
10 by 12 going across. Yes, but I want you to look at the front cover. Just describe it quickly.
Okay, so the front cover is... you can see it's the Horseshoe Falls.
Right.
In the background. But in the foreground, there is... indigenous woman, I want to say possibly Miss Iroquois or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think that's the competition.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Beaded skirt
and the
wrist guards and that sort of thing.
Yeah, traditional ribbon skirt with a crown on top.
So it's attractive.
It's a very attractive, good
You look
photo.
At her with the falls behind and the mist. Beyond.
Does it say who it is?
Yep, just a sec. Before you do anything, now tell me what you see on the back.
Indigenous people have been present in the Niagara Falls... Oh, ribbon skirt? Oh, it wasn't the Horseshoe?
Yeah, it's Horseshoe Falls.
Oh, she turned around. Okay, yeah.
Yeah. The person you were describing has just turned on the rocks, and they took a photograph of her standing as if she's now looking at the falls instead.
Yeah, looking at the falls.
Yeah. Okay. I just thought that was very impressive.
Yeah, it is. It is very nice. Yeah, it's a nice book.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice book.
The first part gives you a little bit of history about the Haudenosaunee prior to the Tuscarora joining the group.
Uh-huh.
But it gives you the background of movement of indigenous populations in the Niagara Escarpment region.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Lake Ontario, between Lake Ontario and Lake Erie, and just a little bit north and south of.
Do they have in here when they thought Clifton Hill was a good idea?
I have not read that yet.
Or why they thought Clifton Hill was a good idea?
I have no idea. I haven't hit that spot. Do they have indigenous artifacts on Clifton Hill?
No.
No, okay.
Gosh, no.
Anyway, I got started reading that. Then I read a little bit about the forced movement after the American Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
So after 1775, 76, when the colonies in North America tried to set up their own organization for governance. And then as they start going through this book, I thought, oh, man, this is taking me in a different direction. Quite often I would read two or three or four pages, and then I'd stop and say, okay, I have to go check this out, you know. And so I spent some time, because I didn't always have internet where I was, but when I did, I would spend some time writing my book, jotting notes, ideas, what other questions do I have. And so every time I could find something, I went to search for the people who can answer it. This book could lead us into a whole year's worth of, you know, finding out about the folks who are have written these articles.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. Also maybe interviewing them to ask them a little bit about explaining some of the questions that I had after reading their work. So it's kind of quite a nice to do. Now, we've had Rick Hill on Aboriginal Voices here at CFRC. And I met Mr. Johnson years ago when I went to a gathering at the Friendship Center in Fort Erie.
Uh-huh.
Didn't know he was a very important person. He's an artist, I think, first. But when you read his work, it's quite amazing to actually sit and read his work. But then there were other people in there, university profs, some from the University of Toronto, and you know, a few others. You can read about each of the authors, and the whole issue around what was happening to the peoples of that area. So there's some War of 1812 articles in there. There's discussions about what happened, you know, in the 1830s and 40s with the people in the Haudenosaunee territory, and what happened to the Mississauga, where did they end up going, and so on.
Uh-huh.
So, It's a good read. Makes you think. I wonder if this is a coffee table item that people would like to have around.
Yeah, it's nice.
You know, so you don't have to read it all at once.
But yeah, I guess not.
I tried.
It's an awful lot here.
I had a week. Now, in between snowshoeing, skating, shoveling snow, making meals, enjoying the sun and the snow, and you know, it changed all the time. But I love going through and dealing with maps.
Uh-huh.
Looking over maps and trying to figure out, you know, where I am in space and time. The power of place is very, very important. Mm-hmm. And so this is a book that can place you in different ecosystems. And also the what people did to survive in those areas is in here, not right out there to say, oh, this is what people really did, but yeah, it's there,
uh-huh.
Partially in the pictures, but mm-hmm. You know,
thankfully there it's at least in part written from an Indigenous perspective.
Yes, it is.
Not just a commentary.
Yeah.
It's a very nice book, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
You should be proud that they gave it to you.
I am.
The pages, like, are heavy. Mm-hmm. Like it's a very thick, strong paper that is glossy. Generally, they probably spent a lot of money putting this thing together. It's a very nice book. Well done. And the dust cover and everything. Mm-hmm. Very well done. They had some... It's very well done.
Yeah, it is well done, and the texts in it are probably have gone through a number of other authors reading to verify
several editing, several rereads, read and reread. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Very nice book.
Now, have you been to Niagara Falls area?
Yeah.
Lots. Not Clifton Hill, I mean.
Well, yeah. Last few years, we've gone down, I don't know how long it's been, but it's been a while. We go down there every couple of years and go get peaches. Mm-hmm. Right off the tree.
Yeah.
The whole picking the peaches off the tree, that all and well and good. But what's nicer is finding a bushel that's been already picked and purchasing it.
Yeah.
You often get peaches at a somewhat of a discount. It's not as much as you would think, but, it's an experience.
Mm-hmm. It's always great.
Yeah. But if you talk to the people, because there's at least one that will let you pick right there, mm-hmm. Their model for it doesn't make sense what they... how they charge. It's for me. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense to me. Down the road from there is a couple of just roadside...
Market stands.
Yeah. And you talk to those guys, and I asked, like, peaches. And he said, well, I don't have that much, but if you just go down there to the storage and down over that way, they got them. So he said far more affordable than I could get them to you for.
Well, I have a special song for you. Mm-hmm. Natalie Fisher. You ready? Shade of Blue.
It's hard to define this place. I'm seeing everything a different way. I'm just a hue of who I used to be, with your shadow hanging over me. There's part of me that blames myself for taking so long to climb my way out. But you are somebody different than camouflaging as a better man. Now I change this whole apartment, then
see you in